So Sunday night is the night I meet my precious Talmidim in Kahal Hasidim in Rehavia for the weekly English shiur. So I'm sitting in my home, and that is why I'm sitting without a black beged elyon as I sit at home. But it's a privilege and a simcha to share this Torah with all of you. So this year will be heard by many more people than I usually have Sunday night at our shiur in Kahal Hasidim. And it's probably the last English shiur before Pesach. So when I thought, what topic should I choose for this week's shiur in Yonah D'Yayma, I decided to speak about Hallel, first night of Pesach. And I feel this is so important because Hallel is the greatest expression of Simcha. And I think it is something which this year we will need a lot of Chizuk. So the Seder night this year will be different than it usually is. Every year I have many, many families sitting around my table, my children, many of my grandchildren, sometimes other guests. And this year, the Seder will be somewhat subdued. Smaller Sdorim, many young couples that never planned to make a Seder on their own. Just they would go to the parents, and this year they will need to make a Seder. Many older families, older couples, that won't have their children sitting around the table, and they will make a Seder by themselves. And Hallel is an integral part of the Seder. Part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach is Hallel. But besides the Hallel we say in the Haggadah, there's a minig Sfarad to say a Hallel in Shul. And it is one time in the entire year that we say Hallel with a Brocha by night. And that'll be the topic we will be discussing in this year. So I've been asked by many, many people, Rabbonim and lay people, those that have the minhag to say Hallel in Shul with a Brocha, first night Pesach and Chutz La'aretz, both nights, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. And this year they'll be davening at home without a minyan, would they say Hallel with a Brocha? So before going into the lengthy discussion, let me just say my psak is, yes, you say Hallel with a Brocha, and tonight I will explain why. So the very earliest sources about the meaning to say Hallel at all in Shul are three sources in Chazal, even before the Rishonim and the Poskim deal with this question. Masechet Sofrim, Perichof, Halacha Zayin, Toisefta, Psochim, Perikyud, Halacha Ches, and the Yerushalmi, Masechet Psochim, Samech Tes, Amud Aleph. Each of these three fundamental sources that we find in Chazal has somewhat of a different mashmos. So let's start off with Masechet Sofrim, because Masechet Sofrim is the clearest source, the most explicit source, and the closest to our minhag. So the Masechet Sofrim says that we say Hallel 18 days and two nights a year. First night, Pesach. And in Chutz La'aretz, two nights, Pesach. Mitzvah min ha-muvchal likrois ha-sahal b'shnei leilois ulevorech aleihem. So the Masechet Sofrim clearly says, mitzvah min ha-muvchal. It's not a chiyuv, but it's a mitzvah with a brocha. And then when you say Hallel in your house, meaning with the Agoda, in the middle of the Seder, you don't say a Brocha, because you already said the Brocha, Berabim. Does that mean that you only say Hallel Berabim, the Loshon of Masechet Sofrim Shikvar Birech Berabim, or not necessarily? The fact is that the meaning is to say it in Shul, but that doesn't exclude that if you can say it in Shul, you don't say it at home. So that is source number one, the source quoted by all the Rishonim in Sechet Sefer. We also have a Tesefta. As I mentioned, the Perek Av Psachim. So people that don't have who to say halal for them, so people that don't have who should read the halal for them. What does that mean? Obviously, we're dealing with simple people, Amei Oretz, that don't know how to say halal. So they go to shul, and in shul, they say the first perek of halal, then they go home and they eat the seder, they eat the meal, and after they finish the meal, they go back to shul, we're going to miss a halal. That is very different than our minag. First of all, according to the Tosefta, there is only bnei ir, she'ein lehem mi sheyikra isa halal. What does that mean? Then they hear the first perek in shul, they go home, and after that, they come back to shul to finish the halal. Source number three is a very brief Yerushalmi. Samach Besu Medalach, Mesech Pesachim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Halal, im shaman bebeisek neses yotzo. If you heard halal in shul, you were yotzo. What does that mean? Does it mean you were yotzo halal and you don't need to say halal in the Agoda? Or does it mean you were yotzo the brocha, like the Mesechet Seferim? And then when you say halal in the middle of the Seder, Seder HaKodesh Pesach, you don't say a brocha because you were yotzei the brocha. So what does the Yerushalmi mean? Im shaman bebeisek neses yotzei. Were yotzei the brocha or were yotzei halal? So these are the three sources in Chazal. Mesechet Seferim, Tosefta, and Yerushalmi. We do not find the source in Bavli to this minute. So let's go to the Poskim. The Ramban at the end of Masechet Pesachim, the Rashba, Brachos Yud Aleph, and many other Rishonim deal with this minhag, with this question. Some are for, some are against. The Turin Simen Tov Ayin Gimel. Yesh mekoymes shenoyagim likrois halal bebeis haknesses b'tzibur kedei shelo yitzterchu levorech olav b'sha'as agada. Ma toiv u'ma noim ahi minhaga. So the Torah likes the minhag. And the reasoning, the rationale, to say halal and basic nesses, kadesha lo yitztarcho lavorach olav bishas agoda. And the Torah brings this meaning as a smach be mesechet seifrim. And he quotes mesechet seifrim that we read before. So according to the Torah, the reason they say halal and shul, kadesha lo yitztarcho lavorach olav bishas agoda. And why not say a brocha bishas agoda? So in Rashbo and many other Rishonim, we find two different reasons why not to say a brocha. Bishas Agoda. One reason is because we split the halal in two and we'll make a hefsig in the middle, so how can you say a brocha? We say the first two prokim before Moitzi Matzah and the rest of the halal all the way after the Suda. And that is why you can't say a brocha. But we still are saying halal and we want to say a brocha in halal. And that is why we have a minute to say halal in shul. There's another reason in the Rishonim why we don't say halal. We don't say a brocha and halal of the Agoda. So the Rishonim quote Rav Haigon, the Ran and the Rashbon, all the other Rishonim dealing with this question, and they say that the halal we say in the Agoda is shiro. It's not a proper halal. It's a different essence. So when we sit Balela Seder and we say the Haggadah, and Chazal say, "Bekol doy v'dorechav u'dumliris atzma kilu huzesh yotzum emzayim," it's got to be personal. You need to try to develop the feeling that you were there and you were redeemed. And you were the one to leave Mitzrayim and go out ma'avdus lecherus. And just like Bnei Yisrael said, Shira Sayam, they said, Shira Bakriyas Yamzif, we too say Shira. So the halal that we say in the Haggadah is Shira. And you don't say a brocha in Shira. It is not the essence of halal, but rather an essence of Shira. So there are two reasons we don't say a brocha in the halal that we say in the middle of the Haggadah. And that is why to pater the halal from a brocha, we say halal in Shur. So that's the reasoning of the two. And this halacha is a matter of machlokes dispute between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, not in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel, where the Torah is, but rather Tov Pei Zayin. But the Beis Yosef in Tov Ayin Gimel does write, Minag b'nei Sfarad, likrois v'tzivar ulevorach olav, kedivrei mesechet soifim. So the Beis Yosef on the spot in Siman Tov Ayin Gimel does write that the meaning of Sfarim is, in the light of Mesechet Soifrim, to say halal b'tzibur ulevorech olav. Does that mean dafke b'tzibur, or the meaning is b'tzibur uadin b'yochid? So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Pei Zayin writes, b'leil rishon shel Pesach goyimrim halal b'tzibur b'nehima b'brocha t'chila b'soif. The Ramah says, kol ze ein onu noyhagim kein, ki ein onu oimrim b'laylo, b'beis ha'knesses halal, klal. So Minig Ashkelah says not to say halal, Minig Svar, the Beis Yosef Pesach, we do say halal, and once again, b'tzibur. Does that mean only b'tzibur? We'll check that out soon. Chassidim do say halal in shul with a brocha. And Chassidim, in this halacha, have the same minig as B'nai Sfarad. In Eretz Yisrael, most communities, even literature communities, do say halal in shul with a brocha. And I know that even in Chutzlots, more and more shuls, for some reason, are saying halal k'minag Sfarad and k'minag Chassidim. So the question once again arises this year when we can't go to shul, and Rivavos Alfei Yisrael will be davening at home. So all those people that usually do say halal and shul with a brocha, what should they do this year? And this is a very interesting question. So the Shulchan Aruch writes b'tzibur, and that is clear in Mesechet Soifrim. Shekvar birech berabim. But the question is, does that necessarily mean only berabim, or that was the minag? It depends on the reasoning. So we saw that the Torah says, why do we say halal b'tzibur? Kedei shelo yitztarchu levorach olav b'sha'as agoda. I explained the two reasons why we don't want to say halal on the agoda. Because it's the essence of shiro, not halal, and because there's a hefsek, we split the halal in two. But the goyin has a different approach. And kachi darka shel Torah. Divrei Torah aniyim b'mokam echod v'ashirim b'mokam achar. And this goyin is dafka halachas Chanukah. So why would halal b'leil ha'seder be in Hilchos Chanukah? Very good question. Tofresh al ayin aleph siv zayin. The Beis Yosef writes an interesting minag. A minag kol Beis Yisrael, we're very familiar. Besides Ner Chanukah that everybody lights al Pesach based on the chutz or next to the window or whatever wherever you light your Ner Chanukah, we also put on Ner Chanukah in shul and we say a brocha. And the Gaon says, what is the essence of that minag? Persume nisse derabim. Each and every yid has his own personal mitzvah, persume nisse. And therefore, every home lights Ner Chanukah al Pesach beisoy mebuchutz. But the minig is to have a communal persume nisse. Persume nisse shel harabim. Persumenis of the community. And the Gaon writes, that is also the minag of saying halal, b'leila seder in shul. Halal is persumenis. So every individual says halal at his seder, but the entire community together says halal in shul, and that is persumenis derabim. And essentially it's the same as the other meaning of Persumenis the Rabbim, putting on Ner Chanukah in Shul. There's another Gaon in Siman Tov Pei Zayin. And in Tov Pei Zayin, the Gaon explains, meaning Ashkenaz, expressed by the Ramah, that we don't say Halal at all in Shul. And the Gaon says that's based on the approach of the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, B'nei Uyosha'in lehem ish yekra lehem es ha-halal. that this minute to say halal and shul is only because there were Amei Arotzois that couldn't say halal on their own. They needed somebody to be moitzi them, and that's why they went to shul before the Seder, after the Seder. So Vizmanenu, everybody says halal on his own, so we don't need the halal and Beis HaKnesses. So that is just explaining Minhag Ashkenaz. But coming back to the question, what is the origin and the rationale for saying halal and shul, two different approaches? According to the Gaon, it's presumed it's a derabim. So according to the Gaon, it would be poshut that if we don't daven in shul and everybody davens in his own private home, why would we say halal twice? Well, we're saying halal in the Haggadah. Why would we say halal again? The only reason to say halal in shul is just presumed it's a derabim. If you don't have Pesumen Sarabim, you don't say it. So according to the Gaon, it would be simple to me that this year, no one should say Halal at home and definitely not with a Brocha. But I think the Gaon is a Devar Chidush. We do not find any source, any remez, any indication to this interpretation in the Ramban and the Rashba and the Tur and all the other Rishonim. What the Tur does write is that the minute to say halal and shul is just because we can say a brocha and halal of the Haggadah for two different reasons, as I explained. And therefore, we say halal and shul in order to say the brocha and halal and to pattern the halal that we're going to say in the Haggadah. According to this rationale, we should say halal biyochid as well and lav dafka bitzibu. So even though the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is, we say halal b'tzibur, that was the minhag. And why not? If we're saying a special halal with a bracha, why not say it in shul like every other halal we say all year round? But according to the rationale of the Torah, the reason why we say halal in shul, and what is the reasoning of this minhag, I think we should say halal b'yochid as well. So this is a question clearly discussed by the Rashba on Brochas Yud Aleph, and there seems to be a contradiction, Minei Ubei, B'divrei HaRashba. So the Rashba brings in the name of the Gaon of various different minhag. Some Gaon supported this minhag to say halal and shul with the Brocha, and others were against. And the Rashba brings both opinions. And the Rashba's opinion is, yes, we should. So Rabbeinu Tam did not say halal. Others did say halal. So I'm quoting a line from the Rashba. In Mesechet Brochos, as I quoted, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Ubevadei, Ilu Rotzer Likoris Kuloi Bevasachas Bebeis HaKnesses Ubebeisoi Az Chayev Levarach Olav, Ki Ahi De Mesechet Soifrim VeYerushalmi. So the Rashba quotes both Mesechet Soifrim, both Yerushalmi, and the Tosefta as well. And the Rashba writes, if a person would say the entire halal without a hefsek, whether it's in shul or it's at home, ilu rotzo likrois kuloi bevasachas bemesek nesas o bebeisoi az chayev levorech olav. Ulefias kumazu shel gioin ayaylam. Nero perusha Yerushalmi shikosavto lamalo. Im shomo bebeis haKnesses yotzo. Ikar tekonas kriyosei bebeis haKnesses oyo velo bebayis. Ubekriyas beis haKnesses tiknu levorech sheikar atkoro mitzvas hakriya aval bebayis loy. So the Rashba in this passage seems to say you don't say a brocha and halal only in shul, but not at home. But it doesn't seem from the flow of the Rashba that he retracts, that he said you should say at home, and then he regrets and retracts and says you shouldn't. Or Chas Chaim just quotes the first part of the Rashba and not the second part. So based on the Svara of the Tur, it would seem to me that one should say halal at home with a brocha. According to the Gra, one should not. So the minhag to say halal and shul is primarily a Sephardi minhag. It's the Beis Yosef minhag Sfarad that Amos says Ashkenazim do not. And therefore, I think it is important to check Gedolei Sfarad throughout the ages. What is their opinion? If a person says halal b'yechidus at home, does he say a bracha or does he not? Birkei Yosef Tov Pei Zayin. Once again in Shiurei Brocha, and once again in Moira Be'etzba. So the Chido deals with this question, three different sources in his Sforim. And in all three sources, he says, even if you say halal at home, you should say halal with a bracha. And he quotes three or four early Sfardi Paiskim that say the same. Most notably, Ramami Pano. So the Ramami Pano Paskins, if you didn't say halal in shul, but you do say halal at home. So a Sephardi or a Chosid that happens to daven in an Ashkenazi shul and they didn't say halal when he comes home, according to the Chido. And the Chido's predecessor, Ramami Pano, he should say halal with a bracha. Rab Chaim Palachi, and Sefer Ruach Chaim, or Chaim Tov Bezayin, as well. He quotes the Chido, and he says, you should say halal with a bracha, even b'yechidus. Number four, the Kaf HaChaim, Tov Bezayin, Sivkot Lamites, and once again, Sivkot Membeis. Kaf HaChaim says the same, even b'yechidus, you should say halal. So that seems to be the shit of the Rishonim, according to the Svara of the Tur. And that is the clear psak of Gedolei Sfarad for hundreds of years. From the Ramami Pano to the Chido to Rav Chaim Palachi and up to the Kaf HaChaim, they all say, even miyachidus, you should say halalan, because this is essentially, primarily, fundamentally, a minag Sfarad. That is my psak as well. So this year, most of us will not be davening with a minyan, will be davening b'yechidus, but those of you that have the minute to say halal in shul with a bracha, b'leila seder, should do the same when you're davening at home, marav, say halal with a bracha. So usually we say sofek brachas lahokal, but in this case, I think many poskim say, even b'yechidus, you say halal with a bracha. That's the Svara, according to the reasoning of the Tur. And I think the Gaon is a Das Yochid. It's a new interpretation. No one else ties the meaning of saying halal in shul, belel aseder, with the meaning of ner chanukah in shul, every day mishmonis yom chanukah. It is only the genius of the Gaon that ties these two menagim together. And because this has no other source in the Rishonim or in the great poskim throughout the ages, only the Vilna Gaon, I think, Ein Tzorech L'Achshosh, and we definitely could accept the Psak of Ramami Pano and the Chido and the Kaf HaChaim and many other Sephardi Gedolim. And I think that's the Pashtus and the Rashba and the Tur that we could say a Brocha and Halal even if we say it B'Yechidus. So why do we split the Halal in two? It's interesting. That is one of the reasons we can't say a bracha on the halal b'leila seder. But why do we do that? So the first two prokam, hallelujah, b'tzeis yisrael, we say before moitzi matzah. And all the rest of halal, from loy lono till the end of halal, we say after shulchan aruch, after berachas hamazon. The reasoning is not found in Bavli, nor in Yerushalmi Masechet Pesachim, but dafke Yerushalmi Masechet Megillah Yudches Amud Beis. Fascinating Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, B'tzeis Yisrael, the first two prokim refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Loilonu ledoiris. And then Ohavti, and the other prokim till the end of Halal, Aliyah Moisa Moshiach, Ula Asid Lavoi. Generally speaking, the Haggadah is split into two sections. The first section is everything we say up to Moitzi Matzah deals directly with Yetzias Mitzrayim. with the exception of one perek, and that is V'hi she'amdo la'avoseinu v'lonu, she'lo yechod b'lvado medoleinu l'chaloseinu, ela she'bekol doyer v'doyerim demaleinu l'chaloseinu, v'kodesh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodam. It is in this passage that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but for His salvation and His lachamim b'kol dor v'dor. We face existential threats in every generation. There is always someone out there that wants to destroy the Jews. And we're still around. We are the nation of eternity. Mighty empires rose and fell, each of them having its moment of glory under the sun and sinking into oblivion. The ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans, the Trojans, and many others. And we are a small people. We never were a mighty empire, but we are here to stay. And we are the eternal people. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the Seder. But that's an exception. The entire Haggadah up to Moitzi Matzah is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. After Bechus HaMozen, it's all about the dream and the tikva, the hope and the prayer, La'asad Lavay, aspiring to be zeichet to the Geula Shalema. And that is why Halal is split in two. Because the first two prokem deal directly with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It says Yisrael Mitzrayim. Roilan was ledeiris, like v'hishi yamdo, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His salvation, b'kol dor v'dor. And then till the end of Halal, v'yamoso Mashiach v'la'asod lavoi. So many times I say that a Jew really never lived in the present. Because throughout this long and terrible galus, the present usually was too painful, too dreary, too stressful to focus on. So Jews derive their strength from their distant past, from their glorious past, from Yetzias Mitzrayim, from the days of the Avos HaKedoshim, from Mamed Har Sinai, from the Beis HaMikdash, while their eyes are fixed on the horizon, looking east and waiting for sunrise. Waiting for sunrise, Shimshoi Shel Moshiach. That is the way we went through Golos. Looking back to our glorious past and looking forward and hoping to a magnificent future. So everything we say up to Moitzi Matzah, including the first two prokem of Halal, are about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then after benching, it is all about the dream of Eliyahu HaNavi, of the Geula Shleima. Yebona HaMikdosh is one of the prokem, one of the zmiras, one of the songs we say after Berchas HaMozen. So this Seder, this year is going to be different. It's going to be different, more subdued, more quiet. But Chas V'Sholem, not sad. A Seder must always be happy. One would ask, so what are we going to be happy about this year when so many Eden are suffering, so many families lost loved ones, so many people perished in this terrible plague? So let me tell you a story of a different Seder. A far more painful one. And this is a story I heard many times from my late father. And that was the Seder night in Mildorf, 1945, Tavshin and Hay. After my father passed away a few years ago, I told the story many times, how my father first met the Kloizemager Rebbe, my great Rebbe, Rabbon Shel Kol Yisrael. My father arrived in Auschwitz with his entire family, first day Shavuos, 1944, Tavshin Daled. That very same day, his both parents, grandparents, five of his siblings went up in smoke. The Kloizemager Rebbe, arrived one day later, second day she was. So I won't tell the story again. Spoke about it many times in the past. We're moving fast forward 1 year. Erev Pesach, once again, my father was together with the Kleiser Magrebe in Mildorf on German soil. And a few weeks before Pesach, the Rebbe already planned Pesach. So here and there, they managed to get their hands on some potatoes and some potato peels and put them away for Pesach, hoping that they won't need to eat the stinking bread that they were given every day because they didn't want to eat chametz on Pesach, so they might eat potatoes. And the Rebbe was calm and confident, and he said, "Be'ezra Hashem, we'll have matzahs for Pesach." Everybody thought he's out of his mind. Where will you have matzahs? And my father remembered, my father used to tell the story at his Seder night. And my father remembers it was a mumar, you know, a Jew that was totally assimilated, maybe even was a mishum, and I don't recall. And he used to tease the Rebbe almost daily. "No, Rebbe, you have your Pesach matzahs? Did you get them yet?" To him it seemed amusing. And the great Kleiser Magid Rebbe said, "Kodesh Baruch Hu will care for us. We'll have matzahs, Be'ezah Hashem." Lo and behold, unbelievable. It was almost the end of the war, and there were almost daily air raids by the Allied air forces. So there was a train station not far from where those Nebuchadnezzar Jews were staying in Mildorf. And the Allies bombed the train station, and there was a train that was on the tracks, and it was totally ripped apart and destroyed. And the Jews were taken out to clear away the tracks so those awful, horrific Nazi trains should keep on running. So they were commanded to clear away the rubble. One of the cars of that train was full of grain, unbelievable, anise. And the Jews every day, according to the Rebbe's counsel, smuggled a few kernels of grain into the camp. They tied their pants at the bottom and put some grain into their pants. So by the time it came Erev Pesach, or a day before Erev Pesach, they had a substantial amount of grain, and they improvised, you know, putting on a fire, and it was unbelievable. They took some rocks and crushed those kernels, and one of them stood as a shomer at the door of the barracks to warn them if any Nazi official might be in the vicinity, and they baked matzahs. And the Kleiser Magid Rebbe, with tremendous saliva, said hallel when they baked those matzahs. And whenever I tell this unbelievable story, I always say, I'm not sure those matzahs would get a proper hechsher. Not only the Eidech Haredes, I doubt that you would give a hechsher on those matzahs. But what I am confident, no matzahs that we could ever eat. We could pay $100 for a kilo of matzahs. Tane Rishon L'Chaim Shel Yad. The Nachas Ruach that those matzahs made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never be achieved by anyone else. So the Kleiser Magid Rebbe and a group of Yidden in Mildorf, 1945, baked matzahs. In every Nazi camp, in every workers' camp and exterminations camp, there was a lazaret, which was like a hospital room. The sick, the ill, the feeble were taken there. And that was a gateway to hell. Kol bayayu lo yeshuvin. Once you were there, you never came out. And nobody dared to visit anyone there because it was full of disease. And if you got infected, you are lost. Erev Pesach, b'mesiras nefesh, the Kleiser Magid Rebbe took one of those little matzalach, and he went to visit one of the Yidden that was in that hospital room. He was very ill, And he gave him a kazayis matzah, and he told him, this is meichle da azvasa. The Zohar says that matzah is a refuah. You should have a refuah shalema. That person's name was Aaron Fierst. Miraculously, he survived. And after the war, he came to America, and I knew him. And that was Mesidas Nefesh of the great Kloisim of the Rebbe. So not only did he bake matzahs for himself and for the group, he took a kazayis matzah into that horrific place, which was the most horrible place and the most horrible place on the entire planet. And he told them, Erefuah Shleima, Mechle Da'asas. Ubelela Seder, the Kloisenberger Rebbe sat with 10 people. My father was one of them. Some of the others ultimately would be leaders. The Nir Bat Rok was there, and the Vishva Rebbe was there. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe recited the entire Haggadah Baal Peh by heart. And he said, Hallel, with a Gewaldige Simcha and a Slavis. Believe me, they were a million times in a more stressful situation than we are today. And they rejoiced. And they said, Hallel. And they told the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you'll ask me, what did the Kloisenberger Rebbe have in mind when he said, Hallel? So when I tell the story to my children, the story I heard from my father, from my late father, Zecher Tzadikim Mevrocha, I usually add on a moshel from the Shoyal HaMeshiv. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzan was the Gadol HaDor 200 years ago. And in Agodesh of Pesach Divrei Shaul, there's a beautiful moshel. And the Shoyal HaMeshiv asked that same question or a similar question. We tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzono Ma'avdus Lechedus. But the freedom we achieved by Yetzias Mitzrayim, we lost many years ago. We're back in Golos. You know, the Shoyal HaMeshiv of 200 years ago in Poland. The situation of the Jews was not a very great one. So we're back in Golos. So why do we tell the story of redemption, of freedom, of sovereignty? So the Shoyal HaMeshiv relates a beautiful moshel. It's a moshel about a good Jew that was poor and desperate, and he dove into a Kodesh Boho every day, shut up, and also the cup. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his prayers, and he found a treasure some miraculous way, and he became rich. And every day, every year, and that special day in which he found that treasure, he made a Suda Seidoya, and he brought together the family, the neighbors, closest of friends, and he made a Suda Gedayla, and he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his chasadim. After 10 years, the wheel of fortune took a turn to the worse. Galgal Chayza B'Yaylam. He lost all his money. And he once again was poor and needy and desperate. His children were very concerned and worried. When that special day would arrive, how would it affect his well-being, his psychological state of mind? Will he fall into depression, remembering the feast that he offered every year? And to their amazement, lepele be'eneim, when the day approached, he invited all the same people, his neighbors, his friends, the extended family to come to join him. And they all came together. And on the table, lechem tzar, v'mayim lachatz, pas b'melach, Umayim b'mesuro. And the father is happy, and he's singing and praising and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the children spoke up and he said, Abba, it's not the Seder night, so I'm not going to ask you four kashas, but I have one kasha, and it troubles me more than all the four. So father asks son, please, Tayel Kind, my beloved son, speak up. What troubles you? And the son asks his father, look at the table, Abba. Daddy, look at the table. Why did you bring all these people together? You have nothing to offer them. There's nothing to eat. And you seem to be so happy. Could you share with us, why are you so happy? So the father says, my beloved son, you don't get it. When I was poor many years ago, when I used to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that I wasn't a sameach b'chelki. I never aspired to be rich and comfortable and to nehana mi'olam hazeh. I was just worried about my children, because in those days, unlike our times, in Eastern Europe 100 or 200 years ago, if you were poor, you couldn't afford to send your kids to yeshiva. There was no welfare. There weren't that many people that could help you out. And even young children need to work to help sustain the family. So the father explains to his son and all the other guests sitting around the table, when I daven for a panosa, my concern was, would I be able to teach my children Torah? And would they have the chance to grow up Talmidei Chachamim? That was my concern. And Baruch Hashem, exactly at the right time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me that treasure. And for 10 years, I can support my kids and see to it that they grow in Torah. And when then those 10 years were over, Hashem nosan v'Hashem lokach yihi shem Hashem mevoirach. The Torah you learned in these years, no wheel of fortune could ever take away. And that is a kinyan netzach. And that will forever be with you. And that is why I brought my friends together. And I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, same way I did for the past 10 years. So the Shaila Meshav gets to the point and he says, yes, much of the freedom that we achieved by Yetzirah's Mitzrayim, we lost. But when we left Eretz Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu promises Bnei Yisrael, Zelech Hoyski B'Tzeischem Mitzrayim Tavdun Esu Elekim Ala Har HaZeh. Our first stop when we left Mitzrayim was Har Sinai, and we got Torah. And the second stop was the Mishkan, and we got Ashros HaShchina. And even though the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, the Gemara says in Megillah Choftes, they are Migdashei Ma'at. And we still have Ashros HaShchina. And the Torah we achieved, and the Shchina we achieved, no one could ever take away, neither Hitler nor Stalin. And that is why, yes, throughout the Golus, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we rejoice. And that is why the Kloisa Magareve and those wonderful Yidin together with them sat in hell in Mildorf under the eyes of the Germans, and they sang Hallel B'Leil HaSeder. So Tayyar Yidin, my dear friends, we will rejoice this year as we did every year since Yetzias Mitzrayim. We'll be happy. We'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the depth of our hearts for all the chasodim, even in these difficult days. You open your eyes and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we do have, feeling the pain of those suffering and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything we do have, and as rachmim and as chasodim. The Kloisa Bager Rebbe and those 10 Tayyar Yidin and Mildorf, they said Hallel. And the Kloisa Bager Rebbe from his mind, by heart, said the entire Haggadah. Their Nesayin was a million times bigger than ours. And B'Syata D'Shmaya, we will find the strength and the Emunah and Betochen to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Chazal teach us, we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask and we pray he should take this all away, and we should be able b'korav to rejoice b'leiv sholem b'nisa nigalu u'b'nisa nasidin le'gol ki yameit seischem me'eretz mislayim arenu neflois Telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is as good to have additional nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Moshiach Tzedkeinu, and we should be zeichu to binyan beis hamikdash b'sham noichal min hazavochim v'en hapsochim sheyagi domom al kir hamizbeach. Have a wonderful Seder, have a beautiful Pesach, and we should all be zeichu to be as goyel tzedek b'meheru b'yomeinu. Amen.